Thank you very much, Mike. And happy Sabbath, everybody. Maybe a little wet outside, but in here it's nice and dry. I love it. I'm going to start off on a positive note and let you know that I don't have quite enough material to go full length today. So everybody can take solace in that. This message is entitled, of all things, Encourage. So it goes along with what Dave talked about a little bit earlier. Well, let's go to the first place in the Bible that's familiar to us about encouragement. And this is in Acts 4 and verse 36. And we're going to talk about the person in here that was an encourager. And that is, as you know, Joseph. So we're going to start off with Acts 4 and verse 36. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, the island of Cyprus, whom the apostles, not just the congregation, but the apostles, which means son of encouragement, they gave him that nickname. And when I read verse 37, I say to myself, on my best day, I couldn't reach the encouragement that he gave by selling a field that he owned at a piece of real estate and brought the money and put it at the feet of the apostles. I've never done that. Sell a piece of property, that's going a long, long, long ways. So he believed wholeheartedly in God's church, and he expressed it by selling a piece of property that he had. Well, I decided to look up what encourage meant in the dictionary. And the first thing they said about it, to give courage. I thought, how right is that? That's a perfect explanation, how to give courage. And it says another place, to give someone hope, which is what David's message was about. To give someone confidence. We sometimes are down in the dumps and we need a little bit of confidence, and we can help people out with that. And also how to give someone, to embolden someone. So let's say that you're a kid in high school and you weigh 160 pounds and you're playing football and you're going to go up against a guy that weighs 200 pounds. You're giving away 40 pounds, so you need a lot of confidence that you can handle this guy. To embolden people. To hearten people. To hearten other people. To give one support. Someone needs a little help, we can reach out and help them. And to be favorable. We don't always have to be negative on anything. We can be positive and give them encouragement. And also to lend a helping hand. I was reading a self-help book years ago. And the guy that wrote the book was a lecturer, and he had given a lecture. And when he came off the stage, he was in the back there, and this woman came up to him, and she says, oh, I loved your message. I loved it. I just loved that. She said, you did a great job. So he stands and listens to her, and she's talking and talking and talking away. And when she was done talking, she said, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Yeah, I really appreciate that. That was just great. You just were so helpful after your message. And he wrote in the book, he said, I didn't say one word to that woman at all. All I did was stand there and listen to her talk and talk and talk and talk. And she was so happy about that because that's just what she needed. Because people usually, you know, butt in and talking and stuff. And they, and that didn't happen with that lady. Well, let's go to Matthew 28 and verse 20. This is the last verse in the book of Matthew. Matthew 28 Let's start in verse 19. It said, we'll read both the verses. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, listen to this, I am with you always. God is always with us to the end of the age. We think sometimes we don't have prayers answered, and we don't, and we want to give up and throw in the towel. That's not what we should be thinking about at all. We should be encouraged by the fact that he answers. Here's all our prayers and answered some of them, the most important. Let's go to the book of Ezra. Ezra 7 and verse 27. Ezra had asked the king for some time off, which is what you don't do. This wasn't done in those days. He worked all the time, every day, until the sunset. But he had asked for permission to leave, to go back to Jerusalem, clean up the city, fix the walls, fix the gates, and do a lot of construction work on there. And the king had told him, yes, you can do that. Now listen to his words. Verse 27 says, praise be to the Eternal, the God of our fathers, who has put it into the king's heart to bring honor to the house of the Eternal in Jerusalem in this way, and who has extended his good favor to me before the king and his advisors and all the king's powerful officials, because the hand of the Eternal, my God, was on me, and I took courage. One of the things talked about in the dictionary. I took courage and gathered leading men from Israel to go back with me. He was so happy that good things were happening, he couldn't help but talk about it. Okay, Psalms 23 and verse 6. Psalms 23 and verse 6. This is the song we sing. The Lord's my shepherd. Psalm 23 and verse 6. Here we see goodness and mercy. Verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And listen to this. And I will dwell in the house of the Eternal forever and ever and ever. No more death. That's hard to comprehend, but it's what comes through David. Now I want to take a minute and just read all six verses, because this is a cycle of somebody's life, and David could be writing about himself here. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. How encouraging is that? Three square meals a day. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Sheep are somewhat skitterish, so if you bring them down to drink at a stream that's really rushing around and crashing around and so on and so on, they don't want to drink because they're afraid of the noise and the racket. So that's why he says, you lead me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. When we're downcast, he restores our soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness. Why? For His namesake, not ours. He guides us to this church for his name, not our name. We don't want to get that backwards. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." David knew about that because he was a shepherd at once, and he used those tools to ward off animals. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." The very people that hated him, they were there at meals with him, and God protected him from any danger that there could have been in that room. "You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Eternal forever and ever and ever." Great words of encouragement. Okay, Psalm 34 and verse 17. Psalm 34 and verse 17. "The righteous cry out." You ever wonder if your prayers are heard? Well, they're answered right here. "The righteous cry out, and the Eternal hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles." Verse 18, "The Eternal is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." We see that God is not off some long place. How many angels are in this room? How close is God to us? How close is Christ to us today? Okay, let's go to verse 19 and verse 20. "A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Eternal delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones, and none of them will be broken." Psalm 119 and 165. Psalm 119, 165. "Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble." When we're close to God, that's absolutely the way it works. I got written here, "Keep God's law, it brings peace." Why? Because God's people are willing to change from our former evil ways to God's way, because that way works. We stay out of jail, and we stay away from drugs, and we do the things that God asks us to do. Last fall, a mechanic at work borrowed a tool from me. He borrowed it in the morning, and we ragged one another a little bit, and we went back to work. Later, I got into a discussion with my conscience. I know that sounds strange, but it happened. My conscience is thinking that I offended him by a comment I made. So my conscience says, "What are you going to do about this?" I said, "I'm not going to do anything about it." I said, he's a great guy. I've known him for many years, and we get along great. "How do you know that?" "Because I've been around him. I know it. I know he's not offended." "Well, he might be offended at what you said." "No, I don't think so. I don't think he's offended at all, because he's the first one to laugh at stuff, okay? He's not a diehard guy. He laughs at stuff." "Well, what does that mean?" "That doesn't mean anything. Maybe he was just laughing to cover up some of his anger or frustration." "Well, I don't think that's the case." So the discussion ended. But my thoughts still were there, and I wonder if I did offend that guy. Did I offend him or not? No, I didn't offend him. There's no need of going over there and talking with him. So finally, my conscience got the best of me. So I laid my tools down, wiped off my hands, and start to walk to the end of the yard where he was working. So I get going back there and hadn't walked too far when he's got in his pickup truck and is driving out the gate. I think, you know what? Maybe I did offend him. But my boss never come out and talk to me, so I don't think that happened. I'm going back and forth and back and forth. So I said to myself, what am I going to do? Well, what I'm going to do is tomorrow morning after the safety meeting, we have a safety meeting every morning, don't get hurt. And so I went over and talked to him. I said, I came over here to apologize for my comment I made yesterday. He looked at me and he says, what are you talking about? I said, when you came and borrowed that tool, we were ragging one another, and I came over here to apologize for the comment I made to you. Now his whole demeanor changed. I've never heard him raise his voice ever, but he did right here. He said, Homer, do not apologize to me. You did not offend me, so don't apologize. You don't owe me an apology at all, and I don't want to hear one. So don't apologize to me. He said, I was not offended by that at all. He said, on top of that, you know that that's how we all get along here. We're here to rag one another and put one another down, insult one another, and that's how we live here at work. And you know that. So while this is just the story that you guys all heard, to me it was an incredibly encouraging comment. He was not the least bit offended, and to me it was encouragement, great encouragement that I got that day. And I still remember it. Of course, it isn't that long. My memory can actually respect that far. He said, don't apologize to me. And he said, on top of that, he said, I thought it was funny. So your apology isn't needed, and I don't want to hear it. But anyway, sometimes we just think the worst, and we need to be honest with ourselves, honest with our emotions. And it was like I was thinking, he was not going to be offended by it. Okay. From here, let's go to Proverbs 15:26. Proverbs 15:26. God even knows what our thoughts are, by the way. He knows what you're thinking right now. The Eternal detests the thoughts of the wicked, but those of a pure heart are pleasing to Him. So if you want to please Almighty God, have pure hearts. Have pure language. Be righteous. The Eternal wants all of us to have a pure heart and be at peace with Him. Proverbs 15 and verse 29. 15 and verse 29 says, the Eternal is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayer. That's talking about everyone here. He hears the prayer of the righteous. Here's the prayer of the righteous. Let's go to verse 30, next verse. Smiles bring smiles to others. So you smile here, these people smile back. You smile here, these people smile back. Doesn't take anything, it's free, and it brings wonderful results. Anna smiles a lot. And she smiles a lot to strangers. Now, it isn't just that she knows people. She just smiles because she's happy about being around them. And they return the gesture. You smile, they smile. And that pretty much is self-explanatory. I don't need to carry that on any farther. Proverbs 16 and verse 24. We all like to read or hear stories that are positive and uplifting with happy endings. Good endings. Go to verse 24 of Proverbs 16. Pleasant words are a honeycomb. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. We can choose to be kindly to one another, or we can choose to be negative toward one another. The negative doesn't work very well because that's the way that Satan deals with everybody. But when you deal with God's people and you deal with God and Jesus Christ, they want to hear good things. And so that's what we need to try to put our hearts to do, to keep them happy and to keep everyone around us happy. Proverbs 17 and verse 9. Be a better listener with no gossip. He who covers over an offense promotes love. But whoever repeats the matter, in other words, whoever gossips, separates close friends. Gossip has destroyed more friendships than perhaps anything else. It's just sad that it comes out that way. Ann and I went to eat out here a couple weeks ago and parked the car at the end of the row of parking slots. The restaurant is here, the drive-in is here, and there's a whole bunch of parking here, and there's the back place to be parking too. Well, I parked clear over here on this end, and that was good. So we came out of the restaurant a little while later, and it wasn't too long, I see another car parked on the outside of mine. I thought, why would a guy park out there? Because there's places to park over here. I took a few more steps, come to find out, this was a Long Beach police car, a Long Beach cruiser. And I thought, what is that guy there for? I'm not parked in a blue parking lot for the for a blue parking space for the people that are infirmed. I didn't know what he was going to do unless he was going to cite me for some sign that's around it I didn't see. So I go down there, get in my car, and the guy's in there and he doesn't say anything. Well, when we get down there, there is a car parked behind my car. So Anna goes down there and is going to talk to this guy because we can't get out. We can't back out because they're in the way. So she gets over there, and I think she'll be back in a moment. Well, a minute went by. Then 2 minutes went by. You guessed it, 3 minutes gone by. I thought, why isn't she coming back? This is really strange. All she has to do is ask the person to move, and if he moves, we're on our way. Well, 4 minutes go by. And finally, after 5 minutes, she appears, and the car moves on. There was a woman in it, and she had just finished an argument with another driver in the parking lot. So what does she do? She starts lamenting this man because he wouldn't give her space where she could move around and all that. So she was upset over that. And then with Anna there as a good listener, the lady now begins to tell Anna of her life's long problems, of probably some 15 years ago or more. And that's why Anna had taken so long, because she started listening to this woman. So then she hits on the idea that this woman needs encouragement. So there was a timeout, and Anna began talking. She said, when I have problems like you're talking about, she says, I go to my Bible right away. And she says, that's what I want you to do when you get home. Go to your Bible. Read your Bible. Get your Bible out. And if you're not a reader, begin reading it. She said, because that's going to do you more good than any of this lamenting stuff. Well, we don't know whether that happened or not, but there's a good chance that it might have, because Anna was telling her that by her doing it, she received comfort, encouragement, and all of these other things that are listed in the dictionary. And so, because she was a good enough listener, Anna thinks she went home and got her Bible out and started reading it. And I do too. And maybe you could pray for that person, that God will intervene in her life and give her some encouragement, some love, and some comfort, and so on. Proverbs 18 and verse 2. You too may want to take, you may want to avoid this kind of a person we're going to read about here in verses, Proverbs 18 and verse 2. We don't need to take on someone's issues just like this poor lady was. Another comment that I want to make about positive versus negative. The last time I got nicked up was about 12 years ago on an Ortega Highway. And every doctor and every nurse that I met said the same thing. They ask a question, what happened to you? When I told them that I ride a Harley, he said, don't say no more. But did you remember the accident? You remember getting hit? I said, I remember a little bit, but I don't remember at all. The answer was always the same. That's good. I couldn't figure out what they were talking about. But when they said that's good, after a while, I realized that they were saying good things to me, that they were encouraging me. Because unlike this lady that had problems casting off all of her troubles, these people were telling me that because you don't remember, there's nothing there for you to cling to. You just get up and move on. You don't lament. It doesn't work out that way. If you can't remember the accident, you can't remember it, and there's nothing you can do except to do what the rehab people tell you. Works out really, really well. I know, because I've been there more than once. Okay. Proverbs 18 and verse 2. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding. In other words, he doesn't get very much smarter. But he delights in airing his own opinions. You may not want to spend a lot of time with that type of person. Let's go to Proverbs 18 and verse 13. Proverbs 18 and verse 13. He who answers before listening, a lot of people interrupt when you're talking, that is his folly and his shame. Yes, he answers before he's heard the entire comment. Well, this is the last verse that I want to deal with here, and this is in James 5 and verse 19. To me, this is a very encouraging verse. James 5 and verse 19 and 20. James 5, verse 19 and 20. Verse 19 says, "My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring him back, remember this," verse 20, "whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins." Very encouraging verse. Well, I'm out of verses, and I want to summarize here for a minute. We need to be doing our daily Bible study and prayer. Bible study first. And I prefer the morning because God is talking to us, and in the morning, Bible study stays with me a lot longer than 30 minutes before bedtime. So it stays to me for hours and hours and hours in the morning. Daily prayer, that's a second thing. Prefer the morning as well. See, when we're reading our Bible, God is talking to us because those are His words. And when we're in daily prayer, we're talking to God. And we're not there to talk about, "Give me law, give me law, give me law." No, 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 we don't want that. Because the law is death. What we want is not death. We want mercy. Mercy, mercy, mercy. I did wrong and I sinned. And that's what we want. We want to have mercy. We want to have God's mercy. Another thing, a third thing that comes to mind here is we all have favorite verses, and we can write down our favorite verses, and when we come to days that things aren't going well, we can get those verses out on from a piece of paper and read them. You don't have to get a Bible out. We can just read through them and get some comfort from that. And the last thing that I have written down here is keep at it. Don't give up, don't give up, don't give up. Because God is coming one day. Brethren, have a great Sabbath.